Well, we've been looking at the New Age movement. And when you say that, it sounds funny because the truth is it's not new at all. It's old. It's Eastern mysticism. It's Hinduism, Eastern mysticism. It's the idea that, and if you remember some of the things we said, that some of their premises is oneism or onism. Everything is one. Monism is that everything, in their minds, everything is connected. Everything is one. And then there's pantheism because everything is God. So, in a sense, the air is God, the universe is God, the chair is God, you're God, everything is God. Everything all ties together into one God in that sense. The third thing is that mankind, man himself is God, that we're God. And most of us, we don't know we're God until we come to the realization that we're God, and that's part of the whole thing. And we saw it especially in some of these guys like Scientology and that kind of thing. And it continues on that what you believe becomes reality. And there's no rights or wrongs. Those kind of, and there was just six or seven things that we had listed are sort of tenets, things that you can lump all the New Agers together. We then went through several different things, but we stopped for the last two or three weeks, and we actually looked a little bit at some of the ones that stand out because they're the ones that you hear about. And one is Eckhart Tolle, and he's the guy that's with Oprah, and he's been on her show, and he's convinced her who Oprah, the best that we can understand, probably at a younger age, had believed in Jesus Christ as her Savior. So I think that Oprah's probably, best that I know of what information I've read, that she probably is a Christian. She has trusted in Christ, and now she's moved away from the truth, which is not uncommon. There are a lot of people who believe in Jesus Christ, and they get confused and get mixed up, and they fall away from the faith, fall away from the truth. That doesn't mean they lose their salvation. It just means that they're not growing anymore and they're not serving. But she got involved with Eckhart Tolle. I'm not sure how she did, but now she has him on her show, and she picked his books for her, you know, Oprah best-selling deal, and before you know it, that becomes the number one bestseller because Oprah told people to read it. And there's so many people in the United States that think whatever Oprah says is right. And so you have people being confused now on even Christianity and Christ and salvation, because Eckhart Tolle is a New Age person, and he uses the name of Jesus and things like that, but it's really not biblical, of course, and so a lot of people are confused there. And we saw a clip from Oprah where she's talking and where he's talking, and the truth is, if you read what these people say, those of you who are grounded in the truth of God's word, and you read some of the things they say, it almost makes you want to laugh. I mean, when Eckhart Tolle is there and she says, "We're going to do something," Oprah says, "We're going to do something that's never been done before. We're just going to sit here and breathe like we did last week." Yes, you want to be conscious that you are breathing. You know, and it's just the stupidest stuff you've ever seen in your life. And yet there are people who fall into this. Anyway, so we saw that. And then we went into Scientology, which is L. Ron Hubbard. And what the truth is, Scientology is a religion made up by a science fiction writer. And he made it up, and then people believed it to be something true. L. Ron Hubbard wrote Dianetics, and he wrote these things. And what he says happened is that millions and millions of years ago, there was an evil warlord named Xanu who in a different galaxy, took millions of souls, people, whatever they were, and brought them to this planet, put them in volcanoes, put hydrogen bombs, and blew them all up. And then their souls just kind of floated out and have connected over time in bodies. And we have bad things in our bodies called engrams, and we are thetans or thetans, whichever way they want to say it. And what the plan is this, as you finally come to realization that you're really unique, and you're not limited to this body, and you can talk to animals, and you can go places, you can visualize, and so that's what he believes. And so many people have bought into that. When I say so many, especially some famous people, and that's what makes it, you know, when you have movie stars talking about it, there's people say, well, gosh, they, you know, Tom Cruise is Scientology, and that kind of thing. But the problem with it is we read stuff about it last week, and then we showed a clip from the practice, which I'm not saying that you should watch The Practice. I've seen it a few times. There were some things on there that I thought were pretty over the line. Sometimes it's funny, but everything that's funny is not necessarily edifying. But in this particular clip that I got off Probe Ministry does a great job on dealing with all kind of issues. I think it's probe.com. If you just go to that, or probe.org, I can't remember which one it is, but it's in Dallas, and it's tremendous. And I got the clip there that showed from that TV show where the lawyer basically was attacking someone who believed in Scientology, And they did an excellent job of having researched what Scientology believes and then trying to show how ridiculous it is. And it is ridiculous. And so we saw that. And then we basically ended a little bit with this guy named Deepak Chopra, which he's the meditation guru. I mean, he's all over. Here's a magazine article from this is Aspire magazine, but on one whole side it says satisfy deeper hunger, videos to enhance your body, mind and spirit, Dr. Deepak Chopra, quantum healing toward perfect health. Acclaimed worldwide for his mastery of the best of Eastern and Western medicine, Dr. Chopra leads you through his groundbreaking program for achieving sound mind-body healing. And it goes on. And then, of course, connected with that is Zen, Diets for New America, and Voices of the New Age. All that's in the same ad. And that's what you find. And when I went to his website and read a good bit of stuff, and I don't recommend you going to these websites and reading this stuff. It's just trash. It's stuff that you don't believe, and it's stuff that you look at it and you go, who would follow this? Well, the truth is, when you reject Jesus Christ as Savior, when you reject the truths of the Bible, and since we all have an eternity in our heart, and since we all have right and wrong inside of us, and since we all know that there's something more than us, there is a desire and a drive for people to find something spiritual. And so when they reject the truth of the Bible, they will go for anything else. And they will go to people like this. He has the thing, and I read this last week, but it's called Primordial Sound Meditation Teacher Training. This is what he has. This is from his website. You can come get be a part of this. Primordial Sound Meditation is a very specific, time-tested meditation technique dating back thousands of years to the ancient traditions of India. It is the most powerful tool we have for direct contact with spirit and rediscovering our unique essential nature. What they're all trying to tell you to do is get inside and see what you're like on the inside. We already know the Bible tells us on the inside that the heart is deceitful and wicked, and who can know it? Paul says, in me, that is my flesh, dwells no good thing. We know what we're like on the inside. You don't have to look to your insides to discover yourself. We know who we are. We're dead in sin, alive in Christ. Jesus is the Savior. He's the one that takes us who do not deserve eternal life or salvation or anything. And yet, because He created us in His image and He loves us, He has sent His Son, and He has provided a way that God has provided a way we can be with Him forever. We don't need this. With regular practice, twice daily, we can open our awareness to all levels of our existence. All levels of our existence. And infuse spirit into every aspect of our being. What spirit are they infusing in there? We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. That's the spirit. You know, you open yourself up to demonic influence. There are people who get into this. This is all demons. Bottom line is either there's the true God or there's what? There's Satan. I mean, there is a true God and a true worship, and then there is one who is the prince of the power of the air, who controls the fallen world system, who is diametrically opposed to God. Now, he's a counterfeiter, so everything he tries to do is as close to God as he can get, but it's not God. When he told Adam and Eve in the garden, in the day that you eat that fruit, what's going to happen? You're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. It was sort of true, wasn't it? It's sort of true. In the day that they ate that, would knowing good and evil make them like God? Yeah, because God knows right from wrong. And if they ate the fruit, they'd know right from wrong by doing wrong. But they wouldn't be God. And that's how he fooled them. And if you notice that from the Mormons to Deepak Chopra to Scientology, everybody wants to be a God. Everybody wants to find that they're God themselves. And that's what they're doing. God is in us. We're God. That's what they're saying. Shirley MacLaine says it was the greatest revelation of her life when she realized she was God. She's not God. You're not God either. But you have God in you if you know Jesus Christ as Savior. The air is not God. The grass is not God. The trees are not God. God is the creator of all things. He is separate from his creation. Eastern mysticism says everything is God, monism, everything pantheism, everything is one and everything is God. So we looked at those three, and we then wanted to end right here with what are some dangers? I mean, what are some dangers of this whole thing, dangers of this movement, New Age movement? First of all, God is impersonal. Because in their view, God is a force. It's actually Star Wars. I mean, when you go all the way back to Star Wars and the Force is with you, that's Eastern mysticism. That's the teaching of Star Wars. Eastern mysticism. It's just a false religion. It's just covered up with, you know, Luke Skywalker and Han Solo and all the good stuff that everybody liked about the movies. But it's Eastern mysticism being taught that there is a force, and there's a good force and a bad force, which is basically a good side of the force and a bad side of the force. And the force can be with you, and you can use the force for evil, you can use the force for good. Because God, there's not a God, there's a force. That's what New Age is. God's not a personal God. Everything's God. It's a force. It's a power. But listen to this. Romans 1:25. He's talking about how they reject God. People, unbelievers reject God. It says, they exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. They fall and say that the world is God. The world is what we're going to worship, this universe. See, if you really get to them, you'll find that the universe has always existed in their minds because that's God. But they don't call it God because everybody's God. Everything's one. So there's no personal relationship. So one of the dangers of the New Age movement is God is impersonal. Number two is humans are God, because if God is everything, man's part of the universe and the universe is God, so man's God. But the Bible teaches us the opposite. The Bible teaches that man is separate from God, that man is, you know, that God, man is a part of the creation, that God is the one who said in Genesis 1, let us make man in our image. Now man is made in the image of God, but that doesn't make man God. It means he's made in the image of God in the sense that he has a mind and emotion and a will. He's different than the animals. He's different than the plants. He's different than the rocks. But he's not God. You're not God. You'll never be God. You have God in you. He empowers you. He illuminates the scripture for you. He takes care of you. God prays. All your prayers go through that. But you are not God. You are a creation of God. God is your Savior. Jesus Christ is your Savior. But the New Age movement says that you are God. The third thing is, one of the dangers is there's no sin. There's no rights and wrongs, technically. There's no personal God. There's no personal sin. That's one of the issues. We've been seeing it over and over. You have to come to the realization, they say, that you realize who you are and that just your negative thoughts is what's bad. Now, let me tell you that you have to be real careful, because there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians that have the same view. Most of you know the Crystal Cathedral, right? What's his name? Robert Schuller, you ever read his book? Robert Schuller says that the fall was man losing his self-esteem. That's what happened. When man fell in the garden, it was not sin, it was not rebellion against God, it was a loss of self-esteem. And what man must do is get his self-esteem back. That's why Robert Schuller is the move ahead with possibility thinking pastor. He's the everything is, if you just think positive, you're going to be okay. Because his gospel is you need to get your self-esteem back. That's what happened to you. That's wrong too. Well, I imagine I don't know if he's a universalist or not. I've not listened to him enough to know. I did read the first part of his book where he talked about that the fall of the garden was the loss of self-esteem and not sin. Did you say something? Who?
I said it sounded like
kind of
like Christian science.
It's not. It's different. He has his own. He actually has he's connected with a denomination now, but that's the teaching. So you have to watch all of this. There's no sin in the New Age movement. There's no sin. I showed you that. I didn't bring it, the big handout from USA Today, that there's a Christ, there's a Messiah, there is one coming, but he's not a Savior. He just wants you. He's come to the realization of who he is, that he's God like everybody else is, and he's trying to help everybody else realize who they are, that we're all God. And if we were all God, there would be no more war, there would be no more crime, and that's what the New Age movement's plan is a one world government under a world leader in which there's no war, suffering, crime, problems, or issues. Now that's going to happen when Jesus Christ comes, but it's not going to happen until that. The last thing is there's no ethical standards. Not only is there no sin, but there's no rights and wrong at all. Shirley MacLaine, here's a quote. Man must realize there is no good and there is no evil. There's not. You can't say this is good and this is evil, because there is no good and evil. It's just whatever is. And since you're God and everything's God and everything's one, it doesn't matter. You just go through life and that's the way it is. But the Bible tells us there are rights and wrongs. There are things that are right and wrong. There's no basis of living. Now, I want to just give you four things, and then I'm going to read something here. And if we have time, we'll actually start into the occult. I'll open it up for some questions. I still have, you know, just I brought all kind of stuff from these people. I've got, if you want to go to Probe Ministries, they've got a whole thing on Oprah and her exploring the new earth. They've got other thing. They've also got in Probe Ministries a whole thing on Scientology and handouts. And then I went to the Scientology website and got directly the information what they believe. I also went to Deepak Chopra's website to get what he believes as well. Here's something. How do we deal with these people? You know, how do we witness to them? Number one is you love them because you love people. People are not the enemy. Who is the enemy? Yeah, we're not wrestling against what? Flesh and blood. So sometimes when we hear people who are lost and who believe these weird things, you want to be mad at them and you want to say, you're an idiot. They are idiots. They are. They've rejected the truth and they've gone off and they're leading people astray. And one of these days when they stand before God, it is not going to be a happy occasion for them. It will not be. But they're not the enemy. They've just been confused in the battle, and they're on the wrong side, so to speak. They believe the wrong things. So we need to love people. The second thing we want to do is to pray. And as we've been saying, I think one of the things that we'll be really effective about is if you write down, and we've talked about this before, if you write down people you come in contact with daily, there may be people in your office, people in your neighborhood, people in your class, in your building, your house, whatever it is, where you have an opportunity that you don't know whether they know Christ or not. You don't even know what they believe. Pray for the opportunity to get to talk to them. There are some people you already know what they believe. You know that maybe they're a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness or they're New Age or they're Transcendental Meditation or they're into all this stuff. Pray that God would give you opportunities to tell them the truth. Now, one thing I learned a long time ago is I'm not there with them to have them tell me what they believe so I can tell them what I believe. I already know what they believe. And when I talk to them, I tell them, listen, we've got the truth in Jesus Christ. I would like to tell you the truth of Jesus Christ. Yes, but I'd like to tell you all about Scientology. I said, I already know about Scientology. I've actually studied it. I don't agree with it, but I bet you haven't studied Christianity, have you? Well, yeah, I have. Okay, let me ask you a few questions about it then. Because our goal is not to go back and forth with these people, because you already know what they believe, don't you? If a Mormon comes to your house, you don't have to say, tell me what you Mormons believe. You already know what they believe. Or the Jehovah's Witnesses, or the Transcendental Meditation, or the Christian Science, or the New Age movement. Pray for opportunities to talk to them. The third thing is be sure you define the terms, because people like Eckhart Tolle use the name of Jesus, and he talks about Christianity. And you've got to make sure that when he starts talking, or when you talk to these people, that you define the terms on what it means for salvation and who is the Christ. Because to them, the Christ is Lord Maitreya, or he's just somebody who's coming who has a God consciousness within him. And so you need to define them. The fourth thing is the thing we do at Countryside, and that is that you know the Bible. That's your goal. You know the Scripture so you can be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that's within us, that you can be grounded on what you believe. Study to show yourself approved, a workman need not be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of God. You should be able to know the Scripture and apply it in your lives. That is the key. Here's some questions to ask the New Age people. How come we don't know that we're God if we're God? I mean, God's pretty sharp, right? You'd think if we're God, we'd know we're God. Or maybe just some evil warlord millions of years ago has just put us all in a volcano and blew us up with hydrogen bombs. You'd think if that evil warlord would come from that far, he would have something different than a hydrogen bomb. What do you think? Maybe some other bomb, some other something with a different name. Who knows? So ask him, how come we don't know we're God if we really are God? And the second question, what about this karma? You know, this karma is that what you do now, as you become part of the universe, and you'll probably come back. As John Travolta talked about his son who died recently, that he's now a life force in another way, and who knows where he'll show up or come back or what he'll be because it's karma. Well, here's my question. Who decides in this karma stuff? Who moves? Who decides who moves up or down? If there's no absolutes and God's impersonal, who decides what's right and wrong to say good karma, bad karma? How can there be good karma, bad karma if there's no good or bad to begin with? This karma thing doesn't work. At least not the way they say it's supposed to work, right? So how does this karma thing work? And if they want one world government, how can we have one world government if we're all God? I mean, who's gonna be chief God if we're all God, right? How's that gonna happen? Probe Ministries talks about evangelizing the new ager. Here's some of the things. This is a little bit different. It says, pray that God will give you direction as you share. And as you begin to talk to these people, and you know kind of where they're coming from. Picture an Oprah who said years ago, Jesus is my Savior. Now she says, I don't believe in that. How could there only be one way? That's what she's saying. There can't possibly be just one way to God. If you call God the light and somebody else calls him God and somebody else calls him this, so what difference does it make? Well, that's not easy to witness to, is it? So pray that God will give you direction. They say, always define one another's terms and establish a biblical reference. It goes on to say, this is necessary even though New Agers won't accept the Bible as authoritative. They won't, but that's okay. Say, here's what the Bible says. And I tell you, I do this all the time. If I talk to somebody and I say, well, over here in the Bible, da, 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 they say, I don't believe the Bible. I say, well, it doesn't matter. I say, it doesn't matter whether you believe it. Here's what it says. And they say, but I don't believe that. I say, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. This is truth. Yeah, but I don't believe that. I say, it doesn't matter. This is what it says. Just keep going back to the fact that the Word of God is what's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God is the strength. It's the power. That's why it says it never comes back void but will accomplish its purpose. You don't give your opinions. You give the Word of God because it's what's going to shape people's lives. It's powerful. Third, it says, stress the uniqueness of Jesus Christ as Savior and His resurrection as proof of His divinity. I mean, they're saying when you talk about Christ, you talk about how He died and rose again. You remember we said, what's the gospel? The death and resurrection of Christ. And when He died to pay for sin, He rose to conquer death. He indeed is the Son of God, the Savior. And they said, stay with that issue. As always. Now, why in the world would we stay with that issue? And they're right by saying that. Why would we stay with that issue? Well, because the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11 says this. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin because they have not what? Believed in Christ. The Holy Spirit is going to be convicting people as people are being convicted. It's the fact that they haven't believed in Christ as their Savior. So if you get off on every other tangent in the world, you're not going to be effective. That's why when we share our faith, we always keep going back to Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. And if you believe in Him, you'll have eternal life. That's what you want to stick to always. I mean, you can discuss Jonah and the 6 days of creation, and you can talk about Eckhart Tolle, and you can get on all this stuff. But the bottom line, when you're sharing your faith, it has to go back to the death and resurrection of Christ, because that's what the Holy Spirit is convicting the world of. It says, number four, remember that arguing is not a positive witness. It is important to share your personal relationship with Christ. Now, for a New Ager, if you say, this is what happened to me, that Jesus is the Son of God, I believed in Him, I have eternal life, they cannot refute that because what they believe is whatever you experience is what's right. See? So you keep going back to your personal experience and the fact that you believed in Jesus Christ and He has given you eternal life. They say, look for opportunities to present Jesus as a person who you can know and have a relationship with. Because, see, in the New Age movement, everything is a force. And then help the New Ager recognize the reality of evil. There are rights and wrongs. And that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then they say, help show him that man's problem is sin, not ignorance of his personal divinity. Show people that the issue is their sin, not the fact that they don't know their God. Because that's what the whole issue is here. So there's some things there. Now we got a few. Has the bell rung? Any bell rung yet? Okay, let's do this. Questions, comments, anything about New Age stuff before we think about the occult, okay? Any questions, comments? Freddie? You want to whisper it to me first? No, okay, go ahead. Okay.
The way we've been studying the cults and the occults and all that, it seems to me like, you know, they say there's no right, there's no wrong. It seems to me like our government today is pretty well leaning towards no right, no wrong. I mean, we have people in government now who don't pay their taxes, who don't know what the truth is, don't care about the truth, don't say the truth. So do you think they're being influenced by this Tolle?
I just think what you have is the people that in our nation, that as in everything, there are always people who don't live according to values. And even people who get in places of responsibility don't live according to the values or to the laws that everyone else is supposed to hold to. And that's what we're seeing. I think it's more evident now because of the fact that with the internet and the TVs and the satellites, we can find out anything that happens to anybody in a moment, where years back you didn't know things for a long time.
You think the devil is starting to make his play?
Do I think the devil's starting to make his play? I think the devil has been the prince of the power of the air all this time, and I think he has influenced the world for a long time. I don't think the actual big event's going to happen until the church is taken out, and then the man of sin will rise to power. But I think that in the last days, according to Paul, things will get worse and worse. People continue to move away from the faith, and I think that's where we are. But the last days are any time after Christ, so it's just a continual thing. But I don't think it's going to get better. I think it's going to get worse. It just continually gets worse. And we just watch our own nation continually get worse and worse and worse. That's from the devil, because that's what the devil did. You're right. What we find is there's always some things that sort of match, or they want it to match, or they want it to be as close to Jesus or God or truth or something. That's why the cults are that way they are. And, I mean, if you think of Mormons, I mean, Jesus Christ is their man, but it's not the same Jesus. You know, and you think of Jehovah's Witnesses, Jehovah the Bible, but it's not the God of the Bible. Yes.
The gist of it was the pastor didn't believe in the infallible word of the Bible. Now, really, it's bothered me ever since, mm-hmm. because it is a large church.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that the New Age has kind of crept into his thinking, and that he's kind of bending the rules a little bit because the Bible maybe isn't...
Okay, I don't know if you could hear it. I know the bell is rung, but let me tell you, she said that she heard some people outside of her office speaking, and they go to a large church in this town, and the statement was that the pastor there doesn't hold to the infallibility of the Bible. In other words, the pastor believes the Bible has errors in it. She's asking, is that really part of this New Age stuff? What it is, and what I find for years, is for years and years and years, in many denominations and many churches, the pastors don't hold to the authority of the Scripture anyway. As many believers don't hold to the authority of Scripture, there are a lot of people who say, well, the Bible's a good book, but there's some errors in it, and there's some problems with it. We at Countryside believe the Bible is the inspired word of God, is accurate and true and perfect, and there are not any errors in it, and we need to know it and apply it and teach it. But the old slippery slope is this. Once you say, because what happens is, instead of the Bible being the judge, you become the judge because you say, I hold to this part, but I don't hold to this part. So you become the judge of the Bible. And once you have a slippery slope of saying, this isn't the inspired word of God, this isn't infallible, there are problems in there, then technically, if it's not the word of God, it needs to be thrown out totally. You either believe it all or you don't believe any of it. That's really what you ought to do. I mean, because if it's not perfect, then it's not God's word. It's just another book, and who knows, it's not any different than Book of Mormon or Pearl of Great Price or Doctrine and Covenant. So whenever pastors, whenever people in positions of authority reject the authority of the Scripture, they're leading their people and themselves away from truth, and it never gets better. Usually, unless they get rid of that guy and get somebody else in. I don't know what church you're talking about, but I don't want to know. But the bottom line is that there are a number of churches in this town that I know the pastors, and they do not believe in the authority of the Bible or the inerrancy of the Scripture. I know them. I know them personally. I know people that go to their churches. I've talked to some people who go to their churches, and they'll say, well, the pastor said the Bible that, you know, has errors. I said, what do you think? They said, well, I don't think that's right. I said, why do you go there? Well, I've always gone there. I said, that's a real good reason to go. And there are a lot of people who go to a church, regardless of what is taught, because their grandmother went there. You need to go where the Word of God is taught accurately and clear, where you can understand it, you make application, and we need to be bringing people in here. You've heard me say, I know that was the second bell. I'm not just going over like I'm stupid. I know that was the second bell. But let me tell you this. We all know that 94% of the people who ever go to a church because somebody else invited them. You want people to come get the truth of the Word of God, you're going to have to invite these people to come to our church, and you have to bring them. In fact, you have to either get them, meet them at the door, sit with them, bring them in, and get them coming. Because they're not going to come because they heard the Bible is taught, because they actually think the Bible is taught where their place is. So you got to get them and bring them here. Yvonita.
Like to have their ears tickled.
Huh?
There
are a lot that do. That's a good point. I got to say one thing. I know we're way over, but listen to this. All the studies show this. That people want to be in churches. I mean, talking about the people who are on fire, they want to be in churches that expect them to know, apply, and serve. Ages 18 to 28, 80% leave the church once they graduate from high school. 80%. You know why? Church is not teaching the Bible, and the church don't expect anything, and they don't want to go. They're tired of sitting there hearing nothing. So we got to be ready and bring them in here. Get them in here. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's go. We'll get into the occult. Ooh, next week. Don't bring any Ouija boards. Don't bring any Dungeons and Dragons. Don't bring anything like that, okay? We'll talk about it. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thanks for our time. Most of all, thank you for Jesus, for it's in His name we pray. Amen.